Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 116. We're going to be in this psalm as a series to encourage us in our Wednesday night prayer meetings. I think it will actually go beyond just encouraging us to pray as we take a look at this psalm. And I also think that we will learn some things that maybe we've not given much thought or consideration to. And so I want to read the whole psalm. It's 19 verses, Psalm 116. And as I'm reading this, and as we're reading this together, I want you to start looking for how you would divide up this psalm. Okay? I think it's very, very important for us to kind of see what is going on in this psalm as far as its divisions are concerned. So Psalm 116, I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my supplications. Because He has inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call upon Him as long as I live. The cords of death encompass me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His godly ones. Oh, Lord, surely I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid, and you have loosed my bonds. To you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful psalm? And of course, as you notice here, he is giving thanksgiving, isn't he? Why? Because the Lord heard his what? His prayer. Whatever the situation is, and we'll, the days ahead and the weeks ahead, we'll look and try to describe that situation. But whatever the situation is, it was such an overwhelming nature that the Lord's answer in delivering him from that overwhelming distress was so exciting that he just lifts up his voice unto the Lord and says, praise the Lord. Did you notice in verse 2? Well, let's look at verse 1. He says, I what? I love the Lord. You know, it's not a lot in our scriptures. And I looked it up one time, and I think it was a couple of handfuls of times, where the psalmist or a person just comes right out and says, I love the Lord. There's a lot of evidence of God's people loving the Lord. But here he just says, I love the Lord. All right, everybody see that? Okay, why does he love the Lord? Because, verse 1, he hears my voice. Everybody see that? Okay, look at verse 2. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. Okay, and I want to ask you this question. We're just looking at this right. This is right off the surface, okay? Does the Lord answer our prayers? Yes. Does the Lord answer your prayers? Is your love increasing because of that? You know, there's a way that we can go to the Lord in prayer and He answers our prayers, and that encourages us to ask more because we're greedy. You know, the Lord answers my prayers. Well, let's ask some more. But here, He's asking, and He's asking out of a heart that is growing in love to the Lord. And so here's the situation. Is he thankful? Yes, we find that out later, right? He is thankful. But here he's coming right out and saying, look, you know, the Lord heard my voice and the Lord answered my prayers. And I'm telling you the result of this. I love the Lord. What a blessing it would be to have our church bodies tonight, those of God's churches that are meeting tonight, to express that right off the bat. What if the whole church in unison and in chorus just spontaneously said, I love the Lord. Why do you love the Lord? And they all say, because he heard our voice. I mean, this is a wonderful psalm. I love it for that fact. In fact, I've got a CD of music, and they actually sing Psalm 116, and I turn to it quite frequently in my musical repertoire to hear this. I love the Lord. So can you say that? You know what? Tomorrow morning, after you have devotions, and you thank the Lord for answers to prayer, you ought to just say that to the Lord. I hope that doesn't embarrass you. Guys, I hope it doesn't embarrass you. You know, it probably took you 5 months before you told your future wife, I love you. The Lord wants to hear it. And He wants it to come from a heart that really does what? Really does love Him. You know, that is the first and great commandment, isn't it? To love the Lord with all your heart. So you just remember that Psalm 116 is a psalm. It's a hymn. Okay, so you can imagine like the whole choir or a family or an individual. And you know, let's sing. The very three words that they say in Hebrew is, I love the Lord. It's like it's right in your face, right? Right up front. So, he loves the Lord because he hears my voice and supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. And so, because he loves the Lord, because the Lord answered his prayers, what's he going to do? He's going to keep on. He's going to keep on praying. So, here's the second superficial thing that we can get. Okay? The fact that the Lord answers our prayers as a church body. The fact that the Lord answers your prayers as an individual believer, does that encourage you to keep praying? Or do you say, okay, he answered that prayer. I'll wait until I get in trouble again before I pray again. So you got the motivation to pray. You got the affections that are being heightened because of the Lord has answered those prayers. I mean, think about it, brethren. Think about how unusual it is on the face of the earth for a human being, dust, made out of dust, call upon a deity, and the deity hears what they say, hears what they asked, and actually does what they asked. Do you know how rare that is? Well, it's not happening in Buddhistic religion, it's not happening in Islamic religion. There is no God over there, right? It's not happening with the Roman Catholic tradition. It's not happening in false Christianity. Okay, how much of the world am I covered thus far? Do we realize the unique position that God has called us in as a New Testament church and the privilege to be together, have our love increase, and our motivation to pray and ask for things just increase year by year? And you know what? That's one of the things that we were praying for this year, that we would grow in our prayer life. So, brethren, you're going to call on the name of the Lord more the more you love Him. How are you going to love Him? Because He answers your prayers. And so there's this, there's this cycle that is going on. Everybody see that? Okay. What was the difficulty? We'll look at verse 3. The cords of death encompass me. And the terrors of Sheol. Sheol is a word, without getting technical, and there's a lot of nuances here, but you can just think grave. Okay? The terrors of the grave came upon him. What's he afraid of? Yeah, he's afraid of dying. Whatever the situation is, there is actually a fear of these cords. It's like these cords of death are now around you, and they're like a boa constrictor, and they're just coming in to grab you right down unto the grave. And the result of that, verse 3, is I found distress and sorrow. That was the result of this. Everybody see that? Okay. So in verses 1 and 2, he's told you that the Lord heard his prayer and he loves the Lord. Amen? Okay. Verses 3 is telling you what the distress was. What did he do with the distress in verse 4? How does verse 4, what's the first word in our New American Standard? Then. Okay. So he's got these cords of death. He's got the terror of the grave upon him. His soul is filled with distress and sorrow. Then he calls upon the name of the Lord. Okay, what does he say? He actually tells you his prayer, doesn't he? Oh, Lord, I beseech you. I'm begging you, save my life. Save me. Have you ever prayed that way? I have prayed that way. Okay, everybody with me? All we're doing is we're just skimming over the top of this. Verse 5. Remember, did the Lord answer that prayer? He did. So now he comes back and he says, you know, the Lord is gracious. And he is righteous. And he is compassionate. So what's he doing now? He's told you the Lord answered his prayer. He's told you the situation. Now he's telling you what? Yeah, who this God is that answered his prayer. Everybody with me? Okay. Well, okay, God's gracious and God's righteous and God's compassionate, but I know who he's going to help. He's going to help the wealthy. He's going to help the rich. He's going to help the educated. Verse 6, he preserves who? Yeah. Do you feel simple? Especially when distress comes upon you, sorrow comes upon you. And his soul is frustrated. Look at verse 7. Return to your rest, O my soul. So this is a bodily thing. He's close to dying. It's a reality. But really, what's distressing him? His soul. And that's the worst distress, isn't it, brethren? And so he says, you have rescued my soul from death. And the outworking of that distressed and sorrowful soul is that my eyes, you've rescued them from tears, and my feet from stumbling. And the result is, I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Everybody see that? Okay, now I'm going to throw out a question here. When he says he's going to walk before the Lord in the land of the living, is that on earth or in heaven? So he says, verse 10, I believed when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I set at my alarm, all men are liars. Verse 12, what shall I give back? What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What kind of benefits? Tell me quickly, what kind of benefits?
Answered prayer.
Answered prayer. What else?
Rescuing.
Graciousness. Merciful. Compassionate. Amen? Open ear. Everybody see that? Okay. What's he going to render to the Lord for all those benefits? Verse 13. I will lift up the cup of salvation. And he's going to what? He's going to call on the name of the Lord. He's going to, verse 14, pay my vows to the Lord. Now, did you notice something very interesting? He says, I'm going to pay my vows, verse 14, and he wants it to be where? Yeah, he wants it to be public. Isn't that what that means? He wants it to be public, and he wants it in front of all his people. He says the same thing. Look at verse 18. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of his. Okay, so here's the question again. Where's the people? Are they on earth? Or are they in heaven? Verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. That, see, Alfreda just did what my mind did. I'm like, what? He said he rescued him, amen? Mm-hmm. Now we got, oh, it's a very precious thing in the eyes of the Lord to die. Then in verse 16 he says, oh Lord, remember, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your... Why did he say handmaid? What would you expect? I'm the son of your servant. Why does he say handmaid? You have loosed my bonds. What bonds?
Bonds of death.
Okay, what verse?
Verse 3.
Everybody see that? Okay. The cords of death encompassed him. The terrors of Sheol came upon him. I am your servant, the son of your hand. You've loosed my bonds. Verse 17. To you I will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And I will what? I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. So I will pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of his people. All right, where are these people? They're in the courts of the Lord's house. Everybody see that? So is that on earth or in heaven? Okay. In the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Is that on earth? Or in heaven? Praise the Lord. Amen? Now, I'm gonna tell you something here that maybe you may want to do this next 7 days. You need to go through this psalm and find out where this psalm is quoted in the New Testament. Okay, don't do it now because we're running out of time. But you need to go anytime you're reading something in the Old Testament and you're trying to get a handle on it. One of the things that really helps is if it's quoted in the New Testament. Because the New Testament writers will give you a clue. Right? And I'll tell you one place there's a quote. The book of 2 Corinthians that you're an expert on. Okay, give me the verse since my wife's already found it.
2 Corinthians 4:13.
You need to go there and read the context of that. Okay, we'll do that later in the upcoming weeks. But you can look and do that. Now, I'm going to give you another clue that's going to help. You want more clues? Okay, don't you like sleuth study? Okay, this is detective work. What is this psalm?
It's messianic.
This psalm is part of a collection of psalms. Now, when I tell you what the name of this collection is, you're going to go, ah. It is part of a collection of psalms called the Paschal Hallel Psalms. Let me translate that for you. The Praises of Passover. Psalms 113 to Psalm 116 are called, this particular group was especially dealing with the Passover. Now, what's the Passover dealing with? The deliverance from Egypt. We read about that in the book of Exodus under that Mosaic leadership that is there. Everybody with me? The Passover time, there's six of these. Psalm 113, through Psalm 118, there's six of these. Are you ready for this? Two of them, the first two, were sung before the Passover meal. The other four were sung when? After or during? Okay, mostly after the Passover meal. Okay, everybody with me? Okay. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the New Testament. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. So see, this is the type of study I like when the Holy Spirit just has you asking questions and just building the building blocks here. Matthew 26, look at verse 26. While they were eating, now what are they eating? Okay, not yet. They're eating the Passover meal. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." So they're eating the Passover meal. Jesus then institutes the Lord's, someone said it, the Lord's Supper. Everybody following this? Okay. He took the cup, verse 27. Now just think about it. There's the bread. Okay, there's the cup. Okay. The cup and the bread were part of the Seder. The Passover meal. What's the Passover meal celebrating? Deliverance from Egypt. What's the Lord's Supper celebrating? Our deliverance through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. So he says, verse 28, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Everybody see that? Okay. That's repeated in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14 and verse 26. Okay, so that's one of the reasons why after we have the Lord's table, we dismiss ourselves by doing what? Singing. Not praying, but singing a hymn. him. We're trying to be reflective of this. There are commentators, and without going in an argument about it or trying to figure out everything, but I just tell you, there is a majority of commentators who believe that on that night, Jesus sang Psalm 116. Okay, everybody following me? We're still trying to determine what this psalm is about. So it goes something like this. John 13:1 says, he knew that his hour had come. And he knew all things. In other words, he knew about the cross. He knew what was going to happen. He knew what the pain was. He knew why it was going on. There it is. It's all right there. And he knew all that. So he girds himself during the Seder, the supper. So they're going through this, the parts of it. You can actually look it up. It takes a long time to go through the ceremony of a Passover. So in the midst of that Passover, he girds himself and he washes his disciples' feet. Then he looks and he says, one of you is going to what?
Betray me.
So during that time, Judas resolves to betray him, and then the Lord dismisses him, and the Gospel of John says, and Satan entered into Judas. And he departs. How did he depart? Remember what he said? He took the bread and he dipped it. And he handed it to him. That's the Passover. Dipped it. Judas leaves. He finishes the supper. He institutes the Lord's table. He finishes the supper. And he leaves the upper room and begins to walk to the Mount of Olives. Do you remember what the Mount of Olives stood for? It was the place where they took the olives off the tree and did what? They crushed them and made the oil. Now just think about where Jesus is going. All this is heavily symbolic. On the way to the Mount of Olives, he lifts up his eyes into prayer, and that's John 17. He crosses over the brook of Kidron into the garden, and Judas knew of that place. Okay, everybody with me? Now here's the point. Before he leaves that upper room, Jesus Christ leads that company in singing Psalm 116. Now let's look at it again. I want you to think about the Lord singing this. I want you to think about how would the Lord be thinking about this. Think about where the Lord's going. Think about the distress of his soul. Think about he's going to throw himself at the Garden of Gethsemane. He's going to pray. He's going to agonize. Think about the Lord lifting up his voice and saying, I love the Lord because he hears my what? He hears my voice in supplications because he has inclined his ear unto me. I will call upon him as long as I what? The cords of death wrapped around me. Can you see that? The cords of death encompassed me. The terrors of the grave came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. And we know that that happened, right? He says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Everybody with me? Okay. What did he do when he found distress and sorrow? He called on the name of the Lord. What did he say? Oh, Lord, I beseech you, save my what? Okay, are you getting the picture? Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our Lord is compassionate. He preserves the simple. I was brought low, and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. You've rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. What am I going to do to the Lord? What am I going to render to the Lord? Verse 12, for all these benefits toward me. Verse 13, I will lift up the what? All right, now let me ask you, was there a cup involved in this? Right? He's going to lift up the cup. It's the cup of salvation. But in that cup is the wrath of God for our sins. Everybody thinking about this? Okay? He takes that cup, doesn't he? Not my will, but thy will be done. He takes the cup that is offered. He's going to drink it, isn't he? Okay? I will lift up the cup of salvation. What is he going to do having lifted it up? He's going to call on the name of the Lord. All right, now brethren, tell me, what does Psalm 22 say that our Lord is doing on the cross? He's praying. What does he say on the cross? Father, that's a prayer. In the midst of him taking this cup, he's going to pray. He's going to call on the name of the Lord. Verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. All right, now let me ask you this. He says, it is finished. And he bowed his head as an act of worship and said, Father, into your hand. He's still praying, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Father, into your hands I commit my what? And he what? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. But let me ask you this. He got the assurance that he was going to be what? That the cords of death were going to be loosed. Verse 16, O Lord, surely I am your servant. Can you hear him saying that? Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your... You know, Joseph wasn't his father. Right? Mary... born of a virgin. I'm the son of your handmaiden. It's your handmaiden. What did Mary say to the Lord? Behold, here's your handmaiden. And the result of that, verse 16, is you have loosed my what? And brethren, I'm proposing here that that's the resurrection. And the result of that is that to you I will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and I will call on the name of the Lord. You say, well, how in the world can he call on the name of the Lord if he's resurrected? He ever lives to make intercession for us. Amen? And where's he living? He's living in the courts of our God. He's living right in the midst of the heavenly Jerusalem. And he's going to accomplish his work publicly in front of his people. And he will sing on earth in the midst of us, his people. So he just says, Lord, I wanted to be in the midst of your people. Lord, let me do this publicly so that people will praise the Lord for your works. So what do we do when we get to heaven? What do we do when the Lamb of God takes the scroll? Do we go, "Oh, that's so boring. I wish I was on earth watching a football game." Folks, what's all of heaven doing? They're praising God. There is just a mass chorus of "Worthy is the Lamb." He's doing it publicly in the midst of His people. And I can assure you that He's walking in the land of the living. This is the land of the dead. He's in the land of the living. And brethren, you know, that really is our hope. We have great assurance that we're going to be walking in the land of the living because He is. And when He died, we died. When He was buried, we were buried. When He rose again, we were. So we're seated right now in heavenly places. The only thing waiting is for you to shed this old rotten corpse that we're carrying around. And then to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And you're going to be with His people in the heavenly Jerusalem before the courts of God. You'll see the temple. You'll see all of this. And I think that's what Psalm 116 is telling us. And folks, He sang it. I can't imagine the ministry of that word to His human soul. So what a blessing, amen? We have a rich feast, I think, in front of us as we look at this messianic psalm, this praise of the Seder, the praise of the Exodus from Egypt, which is symbolic of the praise of our deliverance from our sins. Okay, so let's go to our Lord in prayer. We got about 5 minutes. I'm going to have Brother Greg, if you'd pray, and then I'll close.